Life needs more Cedar Point, and that's what you'll get with the 2024 Summer Pass. Get unlimited visits through Labor Day plus free parking. Enjoy spectacular rides, unforgettable live shows, and drive the sky on Top Thrill 2, the world's only triple-launch vertical speedway. It's all yours for just three payments of $25 after initial payment, online only plus applicable taxes and fees. But hurry, because this price goes up July 8th. Get your Summer Pass today, only at cedarpoint.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of The Winning Drive. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by the legend. Jerry Hamilton's actually joining us, ladies and gentlemen. CJ Vogel, he's at the Manning Passing Academy. He's trying to get you as many tasted morsels and nuggets of information as he can. So he's working hard. Matter of fact, go check out his Twitter at CJ_OTF. Yeah, CJ Vogel underscore OTF. Go check that out. He's got a lot of great stuff up there for you. We'll pull up some of those videos as well that my man CJ has up there. But as in addition to my man Jerry Hamilton, of course, we are joined by the coach, former high school football coach at Bernard, Capel, Brownwood, Rotan, also Capel. Also, he was a college football player at Abilene Christian, coached there in multiple states, and was on the staff at the University of Texas for multiple states. He's coached by
and has one hell of a tan working, man.
And he's looking good. And he's looking good. And these days, you can find his work at
being in the Bahamas on your anniversary for a week will do for you. And riding around ranches, showing people property will do for you.
There you go. Yeah, good time in the Bahamas, Coach. No doubt about that. We will try to answer as many of your questions as we can, of course. So throw them out there. Super chats can jump to the front of the line. You can interrupt the show at any time. So please feel free to do that. We'll try to talk as much recruiting as we can. We got some of those videos from CJ down at the Manning Passing Academy. So we'll talk quarterbacks as well on the show. Thank God we do have Jerry Hamilton on, because big news for Texas basketball. I want to say it happened like 15 minutes ago. We learned that K-State transfer Arthur Kaluma is committing to Texas over SMU, I believe, was the other school that he was considering. That's huge news. Big news. Yes,
that's huge news. That completes the Texas roster. And what that does is he's a 6'7 power forward who can play a space from the basketball. So it helps your floor spacing. But he's a guy that tested NBA draft waters. He came back for one more year. But it's a big pickup. He averaged 14.4 points, 7 rebounds at Kansas State last year. And the thing with him is now that gives Texas even more lineup versatility, another rebounder. I know Texas fans were concerned with the rebounding. That gives you another rebounder in Arthur Kaluma. But I've said since Frank Haith joined the staff and Rodney kind of filled out the staff that Texas wanted to play like that Miami Final Four team that beat Texas. They're starting to build that type of roster. They're going to have more size at guard with Trey Johnson and Tremont Mark. They have multiple shot makers and shot takers, guys that can create space and get their own shot. And that's Jordan Pope. That's Trey Johnson. That's Tremont Mark. Julian Larry, really good point guard addition out of Indiana State. Jason Kent, the other college four that can play some big wing in a big lineup from Indiana State, also very good. Texas 8 core players on this team are really, really good. Now, the big piece of this comes, the big work comes, Coach, is getting them all to play together. I mean, not many of these guys have played any games together. You got Trey Johnson, freshman. You got Julian Larry and Jason Kent coming in from Indiana State. They have familiarity. New system, new players around them. Jordan Pope, new. Tremont Mark, new. And then you have Arthur Kaluma today to go with Kendall Weaver and Caden Shedrick also. And then you have Malik Presley from Vanderbilt, who will have a role in this team coming in. This team suddenly has – and Zurich Onyemba coming in still here as a fourth big. This team suddenly has better guards than last year, more versatility, more size. And then they also have a better floor spacing unit on offense. So it's a huge win for RT on Arthur Kaluma, because I'm here to tell you, SMU had a massive NIL deal for him, and Kaluma went with the basketball over the bigger NIL deal, which I think surprised some people, but credit to Kaluma.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say about basketball, but I will say this. All Rodney Terry needs to do is go across the street, talk to a guy named Steve Sarkisian, find out some little nuggets about building that culture, baby, and everything's going to be okay.
Hey, Coach, I will say you're the one, first one who pointed out to us that SMU was building their own little financial war chest, though, that they had accumulated, what was it, $150-something million so far this year?
And my source, who is one of the leaders of the fundraising event, just kind of sloughed it off and said, yeah, that's pretty good. Our goal is $200 million. So they're still riding the wave.
Yeah, that's why they had the money. They could forego those revenue distribution for the first, I believe it is, 6-7 years they're going to be in the ACC. Everybody thought to themselves, man, how can SMU afford that? SMU got some – they got some old money.
They can afford it.
They can afford it. They got some old money there, no doubt about that. All right, that's a nice little basketball update, so we're thankful to have Jerry here. Also, we'll pick Jerry's brain about recruiting, of course, and get his thoughts on some recruiting questions. But first, let's start here because this is a story that I wanted to get to. The Longhorns have a new analyst. We don't actually know what his role is going to be. There is some talk, and it was actually reported earlier today that Texas will be hiring Scott Hazelton to be a member of the coaching staff. The first one I saw reported was Bruce Feldman. He says Texas is hiring Scotty Hazelton as a special assistant. Hazelton joins the Longhorn staff after recently serving as Michigan State's DC, along with previous DC stops at K-State, Wyoming, North Dakota State, where they won the 2011 FCS national title. He's also had some time in the NFL. I went and did some digging too. So in addition to having signed Michigan State, he also spent some time in the NFL at Jacksonville. After he left North Dakota State, he went to Nevada for a little while and then ended up with the Jacksonville Jaguars for a little while, too. So this is a guy, guys, that's got some NFL experience, but on the defensive side of the ball, that's where his expertise is. He's coached defensive backs. He's coached linebackers. He's been a DC in multiple stops, North Dakota State, DC at Nevada, was a DC at Wyoming, K-State, and Michigan State as well. So you're talking about some good coaches who have trusted him with their defense. This is a guy that I think in terms for Texas defensively, because he's had so many stops, and I mean, he's not like he's old. I mean, he's just 50 years old, but he's been around a little bit. North Dakota State, like I said, USC is one of his stops as well. So he's learned under a lot of different, I think, defensive minds. I've been with a lot of defensive minds. So he could just bring some more solutions to the table for Texas. And like I said, he's worked with linebackers mostly and defensive backs. So in the back seven, he's also got some time at defensive line. He was a defensive line coach at North Dakota State. So a guy's got well-versed football knowledge on the defensive side at every level of the defense. So if somebody can come in and help you immediately. And let's not forget, I think these stories are connected, and I'm sure Sark knew this. And Coach, we were talking about the other day, they have approved, the NCAA Division I Council has approved for analysts and to have on-field instruction and assistants who have to be on-field coaches as well and not just coaches behind the scenes. That was passed, I believe, yesterday. The news was announced. It said here the NCAA Division I Council voted Tuesday to expand college football coaching staffs, allowing an unlimited number of assistants to instruct athletes. It also says that for years, analysts and quality control coaches have been limited to assisting off the field through watching film and providing expertise in creating game day strategy. Now they can help athletes grow on the field as well. Coach, you were in one of those roles as well. What are your thoughts, Coach, just now about the impact that coaches can have now that you have more coaches who can assist with on-field instruction. And now someone like Scott Hazleton, who's a former defensive coordinator at the Power 5 level, now it's going to come in and help you be potentially an assistant to the assistant or the special assistant. You also have Bill Rees now coming on the staff as well. We don't know his role, but he's a 40-50-year personnel scouting assistant coaching veteran at the NFL and the college level, who also now can help with on-field instruction. Seems like the rich are just getting richer with this move, and have and have nots. That separation is more and more, I think, more and more of a divide than it's ever been.
Yeah, the more you can take off a coach's plate, the better he can focus on individual. Look at the offensive line coach. He's coaching five guys. Sometimes, the tight end coach will take the tackle or something like that. But, defensive line, back in the day, we had Bo Davis and Oscar Giles coaching two guys, coaching four. And then when Oscar left, that was back with Mac. And then, now, Bo was coaching basically four guys. And so now you've got the chance to have these coaches take some off their plate and bring in good quality experienced coaches who can give more one-on-one time with each position. Not only that, but you get good quality people running the scout team or the people that are going across from them instead of a student assistant or a graduate assistant. And that may not sound like much, but I'm telling you that's big too. I do want to ask Jerry this. What part of the country now – what part of the country has Sark not grabbed an experienced recruiter that hasn't covered? We have the whole, this guy's from the Midwest, he's from the West, the Northwest. We've got basically the whole country covered with experienced, successful recruiters. Do you think that's by accident?
No, I don't, for sure. I mean, I think the Johnny Nansen hire was massive. Kenny Baker adds in Georgia. I think of Scotty Hazleton, just the connections, like you said, Coach, he has in the Midwest, right? I mean, those are valuable connections. If there's a player Texas likes, you have a connection there. So I think Sark's done a tremendous job of building out the staff from a coaching and recruiting perspective. Obviously, Johnny Nansen was a massive hire in California. Josiah Sharma will get to the four-star D lineman out of Folsom. He's announcing a decision tomorrow out of Texas and Alabama. Texas wouldn't be in it without Johnny Nansen. That in itself was huge. So I agree with you, Coach. I think Sark's done a wonderful job building out this staff from a coaching and recruiting perspective.
Yeah, I know he's got definitely – he has a lot of coaches with ties to some of the most fertile recruiting grounds in the country. And that's definitely not by accident. That is intentional and deliberate by Sark, and brilliant by him as well. Getting back to the super chat here, thank you, Oscar Elizondo. We appreciate it. So is Schloss just a scumbag who had nothing to do with A&M's success like all their fans are saying? Hey, listen, I empathize with the Aggie situation. We've never seen anything like this really in major college sports. We haven't seen a rival in a major college sport, a rival poach another rival's coach. That's rare. We've seen blue bloods do it to each other, but not necessarily to a rival. So they're in a different, they're with a different psychological trauma than a lot of fan bases have had to deal with. And on top of that, the first time in forever, in 80 something years, where they're competing in a major college championship series or game, they lose, but right, the entire experience is overshadowed by Big Brother. The lead up when CDC announced that they were moving on from Coach Pierce and all the rumors about, hey, are they going after Schloss or not? So they couldn't even enjoy the lead up to it. And then afterwards, they couldn't even reflect and have the seven stages of grief, Coach, and get to acceptance, because all they could do was think about and be paranoid, by the way, justified paranoia, that Texas was going to steal their coach, which Texas did. So they still haven't even gotten a chance to reflect on a great, amazing season, the best sports season and major sport they've had in forever, and they can't even enjoy it.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
That's trauma happening. So that's why they acting so crazy, guys. It's just
hurt. I said on the show Thursday that if it wasn't true, knowing CDC, I worked for CDC. He's an incredible man. He would have put out that story because he wouldn't let A&M continue to gloat and all that and say, ha, you tried to get our coach. But my question to Jerry is, you've been doing this for decades.
Oh, yeah.
Where does this rank in your breaking of news?
This is number one. I mean, this is unbelievable. Like Rod said, I mean, if it was Oregon and Oregon State in basketball and neither one of them happened to be good, it's not that big a deal, right? It still would have been talked about. But the timing of it, the who it was, Texas moving to the SEC, A&M loses. And here, think about the 4 days for A&M leading up to this. Win game one against Tennessee, up in the seventh inning of game two, lose it. Lose game three in the national title by a run with a good last inning comeback. The next day, your head coach leaves to go to Texas. I can't imagine it gets much worse than that. But coach, we said this, we talked about this with CJ and Rod. The worst of it may not have actually hit yet. Now, the initial emotion and anger, but what if three or four of their very best players are suited up at Texas next year?
Yeah, that's going to be horrible. That's going to be horrible. They
bought jerseys up.
Yeah, it really is. Another point, I was on both sides of the fence Thursday. My initial report, I was doing this. There ain't no way. There is no way. A&M, boy, did I overestimate them. I said they will go bankrupt before they let this coach that just took them to the World Series of college baseball get away. There's no way they will let that happen, so you might as well forget it. Boy, did I overestimate him. And so as a result, guys, is there a possibility that we're going to see some heads rolling in College Station because of this?
Well, so I want to ask you a question because Rod and I talked about it from a player's perspective. From my job perspective. But, Coach, I know you can speak to this. Sometimes when coaches leave, whether it be a high school job and take another job or a college job to another job or an NFL or pro job, yes, you maximize the contract you can get when you leave. But how often is it the people that are your boss that you're not as comfortable with? Because A&M had a change at the top there of athletic director. And one of the things that happened – was one of Schloss's guys was let go by Trev Alberts. And that didn't go over really well. That didn't go over well. So talk about that from a coach perspective, because you've had to sit there and make those decisions before.
Yeah.
The people that are your boss matter so much more than is ever talked about when coaches start moving around.
I've never coached at that level. I've never been a head coach at the collegiate level. But I can tell you at any level from the NFL probably – through quality high school football, if you have staff let go and you had no idea there were cuts coming, you're probably going to get your butt out of there because you're working for people that you can't trust. Okay. There's no way. I knew that he had let some people go without talking to the head coaches of the sports. I didn't know baseball was one of them, but the bottom line is it's just a really, really strange situation. And people have to understand when he left TCU to come to A&M, how do you think the people at TCU felt? You know what? People at A&M didn't give a crap how they felt because they were getting a winner, you know? And so for people to, you know, I do feel sorry for them because it was a great run. They got a lot of great publicity. They have a lot of great players, a lot of great stories in there. I have a lot of close friends that are Aggies. I do feel sorry for them, but like I said, how many Aggies felt sorry for the Horned Frogs whenever he left to come to them? And as you know, when there's head coaching changes, there's when's the last time there was a head coaching change at Texas that ended well? They never end well. Head coaching changes don't end well, period. You just have to make it through the storm.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's going to get ugly. And it did. It got, and it's still getting pretty ugly.
And actually, they're talking about lawsuits now. They're talking about tampering and lawsuits and all kinds of stuff. You know, and that's just unfortunate. But I understand their bitterness.
I guess that I you know what? I can't wait to see who they hire. It's going to be really interesting to kind of follow this. It's going to be interesting to see who they hire, because that is a firestorm you're going into. Yeah. I mean,
because if they don't hire the guy that excites the fan base coming off of this and some of those players that jumped in the portal, and there's some really good players in the portal from them. If more than half of those guys end up in Austin, man, that is an ultimate event. I think the worst was the initial shock, but I am here to tell you, man, the Jace Lavalette kid, Grant Gahavnik kid, those guys combined hit like 52 home runs last year. If those guys end up in Austin, it's going to be absolutely crazy.
Wow.
Because the Jace Lavalette kid, who a lot of people thought would go to LSU, but I think it's more Texas, Tennessee, he was being talked about if he played another year at A&M, goes in top five in the draft, as one of the great players ever at A&M.
Wow.
If he leaves A&M and goes to Texas, it goes to even another level.
Yeah. Man, I can't wait for that. That game when Texas has to go, Texas baseball goes to A&M for the first time. I'm gonna tell you, man. That's extra security. There will be measures that need to be taken just to make sure that the fans don't get too out of control and things don't get too crazy. All right, CDC is gonna be public enemy number one down there in Aguilar. It probably already is. The man was coach. You heard the story about him hiding in the graveyard, waiting in the graveyard because he didn't want anybody to know. So CDC said he went down to Aguilar to pick up Coach Slosh, but he didn't want nobody to see him, because if Aggie see him, snap a picture, put it on social media, whole thing just blows up. So he said he went down there and he had to find somewhere to wait in Aggieland where he wouldn't attract a lot of attention. Man's brilliant. Found a graveyard, said he's going to post up in the graveyard, and that's where he went. And now tell me he's not trolling them Aggies with that. That is a straight troll job right there, man. It is brilliant. Great job, CDC.
Hey, Jerry, that would be a great book for you to write someday. All the unusual situations and places ADs and coaches met, not from Texas, but all over the country.
A good idea.
A McDonald's or a graveyard.
I mean, look, CDC's, he's got his plan. It was McDonald's in Plainview where he met Chris Beard and brought him back to Austin. It's the cemetery in Snook, and then went over and met with Schloss, who has a 67 acres there in Snook. It's called Home Run Farms or something. And so that's where he met with him, put him in the car, and drove him back to Austin.
Okay, we're going to have to put these little places, these little spots. It'll be like a Longhorn tour, so Longhorn fans will know exactly where they are. So when you're driving down, you're like, I'm passing up that graveyard, that CDC. I'm going to go check it out a little bit.
With a landmark. That's a Longhorn landmark.
Exactly. Longhorn landmarks. I like that, Coach. There you go. We need to make – we'll put Craig Way on it. Craig Way will hook us up. He'll let us know exactly where it is.
We need Shipley Ranchers to come up with a big Texas and say Longhorn landmarks and have Snook on there and have have all the different places where we've stolen other people's coaches.
Brilliant, Coach.
A T-shirt.
Love it. That's money, Coach. That's money in the bank. I love that. All right. Getting back to the questions here. Got more super chats. Thank you for that one, Oscar. We appreciate that one. Let's get to Slick Rick. Slick Rick, thank you very much for the super chat. We appreciate it. It's probably for my man Jerry here. Cunningham, crystal ball to UT. We missing out on Pettijohn?
Well, we'll see. Jonathan Cunningham visited on the 14th through 16th. The guy that Johnny Nansen offered and really likes him. And we've been here in Texas in a good spot if they make that final push for Cunningham. I think the whole – Texas wants three linebackers. They have Elijah Barnes committed, who's one of the best in the country, right, from Dallas Skyline. I think the hope there is you get one of either Madden Foramo or Pettijohn. The likelihood of all three of those guys in the same class isn't very high. So your hopes there you get Foramo or Pettijohn. You take that third, it would probably be Cunningham in that scenario. So I think that's where things are headed. Pettijohn, I think, is Ohio State, Texas, maybe Texas A&M in it. And then with Madden Frambo, it's a Notre Dame-Texas fight.
There you go. All right. Good stuff there, Jerry. We appreciate it. All right. Before we continue here, let's thank one of our fantastic sponsors. Really excited about having South Point Dodge a part of the Owen, Texas football family and them for sponsoring the winning drive. So we appreciate all of their support. So Texas football fans, this is a great time for you to score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, including a great selection of those Ram 1500s, the 2500s, and the 3500s. So whatever your truck needs, South Point Dodge is the one-stop shop. So, folks, score big today at South Point Dodge. Get on over to southpointdodge.com, or you can go see them in person off of I-35 in South Austin at southpointdodge.com, southpointdodge.com. We appreciate all of their support for sponsoring the winning drive and being part of the Owen, Texas football family. All right, let's get to – I want to get – before we get back to the questions here, and we'll get to a bunch of them, my man C.J. Vogel is at the Manning Passing Academy right now, and I want to encourage everybody to go over to his Twitter account at CJVogel_OTF. He's got videos up there of, you know, Arch throwing, Quinn throwing, and he's down there. I'm going to ask you, Jerry, you've been to the Manning Passing Academy before, correct?
Way back. It's a great experience. Okay. I'm so excited CJ got to go because, you know, you get to watch Quinn, Arch, Carson Beck, Jalen Milrow, Jackson Dart, all these guys go through. There's Quinn with a chaw in his mouth, by the way, which is awesome, which is an awesome photo. But you get to watch all these quarterbacks work back to back to back in drills. So imagine going to an Under Armour camp or a Nike Elite 11, but here it's all the best quarterbacks in college football going back to back to back in drills. It's a great opportunity. There's Arch. To watch these guys and kind of measure them against air all together. Great experience. I'm so excited for CJ that he's down there.
Love that. Yeah. No, it's good. So I'm excited about getting CJ actually is going to come on and join us toward the end of the show, give us a little analysis. But like I said, you want a little sneak peek, go check out those videos. I mean, CJ's working really
hard. And by the way, that video there, the video of Arch, the video of Quinn, that's Peyton and Eli Manning working with them.
That's crazy.
that's Arch working with Peyton and Eli right there. And Archie's part of this as well. They meet with the media today. There's Eli snapping the ball, I believe that was. I'm not sure if that was on that rep. But Peyton and Eli, very much part of this camp. They're involved in this play-to-play, snap-to-snap, rep-to-rep part of this camp.
It's good stuff. Actually, Sark was talking about Quinn, and we'll get to some of those tidbits. He had an interview with Greg McElroy. I want to get to some of the things he mentioned. And, of course, he talked about the quarterback. So we'll talk about that later on the show. Getting back to the questions here, MP Houston, thank you very much for the super chat. Really appreciate your support. It says, loving OTF's coverage and analysis of the Schloss situation, particularly Rod and Jerry. Hey, thanks, brother. We appreciate that. It's honestly, it's just fun. I said this the other day talking to Jerry. I believe in terms of social media engagement, social media buzz and activity for Longhorn Twitter, which is a huge, like, you know, that's a huge constituency, just Longhorn Twitter. I don't know if there's been a bigger day.
Right.
Arch Madness was pretty big. Texas going to the SEC was one of them days where it's just like, but because you basically had the back and forth with the Aggies, like Arch Madness, there was no back and forth. It was just people mad because Arch committed to Texas and they were jealous. Texas going to the SEC, that was a little buzz, but there was no like back and forth, no vitriol. You actually went back and forth with the Aggies, and it still are, for like three straight days. And it really kind of took over a lot of folks' timeline. I don't know if we've had a bigger day for Longhorn Twitter and social media. Yeah.
Hey, Jerry, I want to ask Jerry one question. There's always rumors. You read rumors, all this stuff about Texas A&M. Is there any chance in the future that they bolt to the ACC
or Big Ten? Big Ten's the
Big Ten rumor.
That would be asinine. Like, that would be such a recruiting death spiral for them. I can't imagine they actually make the decision. I hear the chatter and the rumors, but I can't imagine they actually leave the SEC to go to the Big Ten. That would just be recruiting death to me. because you went to the SEC, which is, I thought, was a great move. I know they wanted their own identity from Texas, but they went there and it was great for them in recruiting. That was a big recruiting advantage against Texas. Now Texas comes into the SEC and Oklahoma, and yes, you lose your recruiting advantage right about the time that CDC has Texas really going. But if you went to the Big Ten, what are you going to tell the kids? What are you going to tell the kids that all want to play in the SEC? Sorry, wasn't good enough for us. We're going to the Big Ten, baby. I think it would be death in recruiting.
Yep.
That would be the worst decision A&M's ever made, in my opinion.
And they'd be doing it to get from underneath the shadow of Texas again, which is, come on, you can't escape that shadow. You can't. It's coming. And listen, and I'll give the Aggies credit. And just like you said, when they went to the SEC, I said it was a good move. I was like, it's a good move for them. Get it from underneath the shadow of Texas, create your own legacy, blaze your own trail. That's all great. And it turns out their idea was so good. Hey, man, Texas followed them. It's all good. All right, Aggies.
Well, when did Aggie recruiting take off? When did the Aggie recruiting take off?
That's
when did our recruiting take off?
Yeah.
Our recruiting took off when we announced,
When you announced it.
I mean, hey, it was a great move by them.
There's no Colin Simmons at Texas if Texas doesn't go to the SEC. He was going to play in the SEC. He told me that spring of his freshman year all the way through until he made a decision. Hey, by the way, this is a good one to follow up that super chat earlier. A lot of Aggies have been like, no players will ever play for Schloss after this. Yeah, well, then that one of the top 10 high school players in the country in the 25 mm-hmm. class flipped from A&M to Texas today out of North Carolina. So I guess that's not going to happen.
Oh, I thought you meant this sign flip, like hit the batter, but we actually throw it over to the coach. First pitch.
All right, we got another super chat here from, is it Jaron DeWald? I hope I got the name right, Jaron. I apologize if I did not. Thank you very much for the super chat. Really appreciate that. Hookem from Salt Lake, Utah. Do you guys think Arch will play for more than 1 year or be a one and done and go to the NFL after next year? I think he's going to stay for more than 1 year, but maybe I'm off about that. Don't you?
No. You're right. You're right. Look at the Manning history here. Arch is going to start 2 years. The question is, does he play through start three? That's the question, coach, because the Mannings are all about development. They never rush the process. Let's see what happens. It's going to be at least two. The question is it three? All the guys Texas is recruiting, hope it's not three at the quarterback position.
Boom.
I think I say two as well. There's no way you can have – there's no way that you can be NFL ready. No, it'd be hard for anybody to justify it. But like you said, there's no way the Mannings know – well, so much better than that. Yeah. That it's going to take at least 2 years of – actual playing time to get him ready.
Hey, speaking of Arch, can I ask you real quick, Jerry, do we get Arch if Texas doesn't go to the SEC?
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
That is a great question. Because nobody in that family's played outside the SEC.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a great question. I think the Mannings see Sark as their modern day Cutcliffe. But if Texas was still in the Big 12, I don't know, guys. The problem in that recruitment was, you know, I think Nick Saban was very honest with them. I think, by the way, Arch wanted to go to Texas. So let's get that out of the way. That's where he wanted to be. Now, Sark wasn't the coach? No, no chance. But when that became part of the equation, the interesting thing was Nick's, and coach, you know this, Nick Saban got to the age where people would ask him, are you going to coach my kid all 4 years or 5 years he's there? And Nick was pretty honest with the Manning, said, I can't guarantee that.
Yeah, he's a rare breed. He's a rare breed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So I do think it would have been Texas or Alabama. I know Arch also liked Georgia, but I think it was Texas, Bama at the end of the day. It's an interesting question, though, Rod, because I'm not sure Saban – Sandman says Arch goes to Ole Miss, maybe because of Lane Kiffin, maybe, but I'm not sure about that either. He didn't take it. That was not an official visit for him, which was very telling. Georgia, or wasn't an early visit for him. Georgia would have had a chance. But again, here's the interesting thing about it, Rod, too, with Arch. Everybody's like, he should transfer. Where's he going to go? Where was he going to go after this year? He was never going to transfer, but when people say he should have transferred, Milroe was back at Bama, Beck was back at Georgia, Dart was back at Ole Miss. Where are you going to go?
Yeah.
That was always my issue with these people, these clickbait articles. Where are you going to go? The situations were exactly the same.
Yeah, he's a Manny. He ain't going just anywhere either.
The point, one, it helps they don't need the money, and Arch is going to do extremely well in the NIL world, but they don't rush development in that family.
Yep, that's good. It's a good point, yeah. So I'm with you. I think 2 years, and I think Sark would prefer 2 years, by the way. I think Sark wants him after 2 years to feel like, hey, you're ready for the league. You're ready to be, you know, you've done all you can do at this level so you can keep the pipeline going. You know, sometimes when you have a guy stick around too long, it kind of puts a log jam in the pipeline. And Sark wants that pipeline, man, because he's got a ton of great quarterback prospects in that room right now. All right. Thank you very much for the super chat, Jerron. We really appreciate that. All right. A couple of other questions here. Peter the Great. This one's, I'm trying to get Jerry's question because Jerry's not going to be on with us for the entire show. So I'm going to try to get Jerry's questions in here. Peter the Great wants to know, Jerry, why is Texas not pushing so hard for Riley, the linebacker from McKinney?
Riley Petchon. No, Texas wants Petchon. They're pushing for him. It's just, I think the reality is with Barnes in the fold, Madden, Framo, Petajon, you're not going to get all those guys. Texas knows you're not going to get all those guys, so you're positioning yourself. But Texas hasn't backed off Petajon. They're pushing for Petajon. Now, they really like Framo, too. Madden, Framo out of San Juan. I love him. Ooh. Big fan.
Yeah, he's impressive, man. He's got some nice film. I'm sure Coach will like him, too. All right, so a couple of questions here for Coach. Cisco Diaz, he wants to know, we're going to get two of these. He says, how much of an impact will Scotty Hazleton have, and is it a good hire by Sark? I think this leads us to the Trace Crutchfield question, which I think is a good one. Coach, can you help us understand the decision-making flowchart and how it works for someone like Hazleton, Baker, Nansen, PK, or vice versa? Kind of the flowchart of, I guess, the hierarchy, if you will.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say, but the boss is always going to be the boss. You know, most head coaches, the defensive coordinator is the head coach of the defense. The linebacker coach is the head coach of the linebackers, or maybe, or they could sometimes they'll say he's the head coach of the front seven because they've got to be working well with the defensive line. I don't think there's going to be any discrepancy on what that flow chart is. I'm sure it's very obvious. And let me tell you, these coaches, they're professionals. They know how it works. It doesn't work different from staff to staff. It doesn't work different from successful staff to staff. The guy that's in charge is a guy that's in charge, and these special assistants that's come in or whatever you want to call them, they keep their mouth shut until they're spoken to. They're not going to interrupt a conversation. They're not going to say, no, coach, you need to look at this. If the defensive coordinator wants to know, he'll ask, or maybe the special assistant or whatever you want to call him will go into his office and say, hey, coach, we did this, but he will never speak over a position coach, never speak over a coordinator. It's very well defined what it is. And anything that's said, he's either going to be asked or it's going to be one-on-one, without a doubt. That's the way it'll work, and it has to work that way. There can't be confusion in that room as to who's calling the shots and who's who the players are looking to. There cannot be any confusion in that, and I promise you there won't be.
Yeah. No, good stuff there, Coach. Yeah, and about Scott Hazleton, I mean, Scotty Hazleton, nobody really knows exactly what his role is going to be yet. They have not released that information, so I think we're kind of speculating. Some have said special assistant to the head coach, and I've heard otherwise. I would just say this. I do – I mean, now that those guys can be – they can have on-field instruction too, it just helps to have more football guys on the roster in any roles because, as Coach said, hey, now you can get individual instruction as opposed to coaches coaching the secondary or coaching, you know, 8, 9 guys. You can get more individual instruction for players, and Texas can afford to have, you know, an unlimited support staff in those roles if they want to. If I was doing it with Scott Hazleton, I'd probably give him special projects. I don't know how that works, Coach. How often do would a coach just give an analyst a special project or say, hey, this is something that I want you to dive deep on, whether that be self-scouting or whether that be something for the opponent, just saying, hey, Bama, you, Bama, just go,
well,
go
break down.
Do they do special projects for coaches who come into that those consulting roles?
The first time I saw that was when I was an analyst on the staff with Greg Robinson. And Mac took Greg Robinson and said, you start breaking down OU. In fact, Greg was – when training camp was over with, Greg went home to California, but he was on the phone with us every week. And as it came closer, and then OU week, he was there because he broke down every single thing he could possibly break down on OU.
Wow.
And that was our – that was – we beat OU that year, as a matter of fact. That was Mac's last year.
Yeah.
And we beat them, and Greg Robinson had that special assignment to look at every possible angle of their offense that he could look at and break down anything for months. I mean, for probably, I don't know how long he spent on it. It was a long time. But there's no doubt you give those guys, because there could be guys that are that maybe have something specific that they're kind of known for, you know. And so, you look for those things. You look for tendencies. You look for anything. And, I mean, you can really dive into it, Rod. Just like if Rod Babers was a football coach, he'd be late for practice every day because he'd be diving into something, following something to find out one more little tidbit on how he can give his players an advantage. And that's what those guys do. That's what they do. They report it back to their position coach or their coordinator, and then they try to put it all together. And it could be that they call on them in a meeting. They say, hey, you know, Greg Robinson, what about this? You know, and so then you speak up. And you tell them specific things. Now that gives the players confidence in all the staff.
And I wonder if Michigan's going to be his special project. So he's got some time there at Michigan State. How long has Sharon Moore been running the offense there at Michigan with Harbaugh? The whole time, I believe, right? So could it just be Michigan maybe his special project?
No doubt. Like, hey, that's a
you
great
know Michigan.
Point.
You got a file on them already. You already got the data on them. I need you to break down Michigan for us this offseason. And then, like you just did with, like you just said, Coach, with Greg Robinson, we can do it the same way. Hey, there's the man. There he is.
Hey, so I'm going to answer one question. I'm going to let CJ tell all you guys about Manning Pass Academies out there live. Roger G, with the highs that are out there and the recruits Texas training for, do you think it'll be a top 3-5 class? If Sharma goes Texas way tomorrow over Alabama and Josiah Sharma, 4-star D lineman, announces around 2:30, I think Texas is off and running. You guys have a good one. We'll talk to you in the morning. Awesome that CJ's out there at Manning Passing Academy.
Thanks, Jerry. You're the man.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
It's Jerry Hamilton, ladies and gentlemen.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, we got about 50,000 subscribers that would love to be right where you are right now, dog.
Hey, it feels good out here too, Coach. A little sprinkle early in the morning. The weather's not too bad. It's humid, but that's Louisiana. We're by the swamp. Of course, there's some good quarterbacks out here as well. Obviously, Arch Manning, Quinn Ewers headlining from the Texas side of things. But,
nice.
Hey, they just wrapped up. They're off the field. The high school camp's about to get going for the evening. Up in the next 30 to 45 minutes. So the college camp counselors, they're done for the evening. They'll be back out tomorrow. Of course, that's when I'll get to chat with them a little bit.
Is that Arch's high school? Is that being held where Arch went to high school?
No, so we're at Nichols State down in Thibodaux.
Okay.
All right, CJ, I know you got to get a chance to look at these quarterbacks and get an up-close and kind of personal the evaluation of some of these guys. Is that Bill Belichick?
It sure is.
Whoa.
I tell you what.
What?
I tell you what. Quinn Ewers, Bill Belichick were out there sitting there talking after the conclusion of the camp for probably 10, maybe 15 minutes. I don't know if he talked to any other quarterback in attendance. They had obviously a lot of cameras around them. I'm not sure if it was a documentary or anything like that, but they were sitting there chopping it up for a good 10, 12, 13 minutes at the conclusion of the camp. I think folks around the country, whether they're college football first or not, understand just how talented Quinn Ewers is.
That is a great picture right there, man. Like I said, go check out CJ's Twitter, man. He's got some great stuff there, CJ Vogel_OTF. So let's talk about the Texas quarterbacks first that you got a chance to see. How did Quinn and Arch look? That's what everybody wants to know. You can go see him for yourself, but you got a chance to see him up close and personal there. How'd they look?
Oh, it was a strong day for the two of them. It looked like they had been in the middle of their season with the way that they were slinging around today. Of course, Quinn, I was very impressed with him rolling out on some of those throws. There you see Arch throwing up the horns. He looks very healthy right now, Arch Manning does. But for Quinn, the way that you see him kind of maneuver outside of the pocket, the way that you see him, you know, kind of make some of these throws on drills, you know, out here in this drill setting, they make these quarterbacks move and get the ball out in different angles. That's kind of been Quinn's MO off-platform throws. And today he looks spectacular, of course, you know. Anytime he's able to hit the back foot and get going, here you see it right in stride on a nice little dig route. He was very accurate today. He looks healthy. He looks like his frame is a little bit more sturdy than what we saw at the conclusion of 2023 as well. So I'll get to chat with them tomorrow, kind of dig their brains, what's going on with the wide receivers, how's the offensive line looking, the offense, et cetera, et cetera. But today the two quarterbacks looked really healthy. The arm looked lively, and Arch Manning, again, one of the main attractions out here in terms of you know, folks coming up to take photos. It probably took him 30 minutes to get off the field, but with all the photos he had to take in just, what, about 50 yards?
Hey, yeah. CJ, was it strange watching the Manning family coach someone that's a Longhorn other than Arch?
It was actually pretty interesting. So Quinn was going first in every drill that I saw. They divided the college quarterbacks up into three groups. Quinn and Arch were in the same group together, and I followed them around the field, wherever setting that they were in. Eli Manning had the red zone. Peyton Manning had kind of the down the field throws, you know, your 15-yard digs, your 14-yard comebacks, your posts, your goes, whatever. And just to see them kind of lead the way. And when Quinn would step up, he would get that initial instruction from Peyton Manning, say, hey, this is how it's going. And do it with me. Basically, come back, get your drop, plant your foot, and huck it deep. So it was always Quinn, the first one to, you know, kind of do the drill, receive that first tutelage under either Manning. And then, of course, Arch was probably fourth or fifth coming back up afterward. And Peyton made sure to give Arch a little, that's a Manning throw right there after one of his attempts this afternoon. So it was pretty cool to see that dynamic, the way that Arch and obviously Eli Peyton kind of work with one another, because you know that family breeds football. And, of course, with Arch now at Texas, I'm sure they've got something to say with Texas entering the SEC, of course.
Yeah. No, man, I'm jealous. I'm not going to lie. I think everybody is. I mean, if you're a football guy, it sounds like right now it's like a football fantasy to be there with the Manning, Belichick, they're hanging out. Okay, what other quarterbacks stood out to you? Aside from the Texas quarterbacks, I know you were paying special attention to those guys. Any other quarterback stood out to you that had kind of some wow moments when you went, okay, this guy, you know, I might need to start paying special attention to this player?
Yeah, there's a few. Of course, the number one guy that I was very happy to see was Cade Klubnik, the former Austin Westlake quarterback. Of course, he's at Clemson. I've been very close with him, you know, throughout his recruitment, right in the area, right down from where I was living in Austin at the time. Good to see him back out here. And then Blake Chapin, Texas's first SEC opponent, pulled up probably halfway through, instantly threw on the cleats and said, "I don't need a warm up. I don't need nothing. I'm gonna start hucking the ball down the field." He looked like he is back to health. I know that was kind of one of the big question marks for him at Baylor during the back end before he transferred out, but he looked good today. As did hold on, let me pull up the name. It's Braden Shager, Hawaii quarterback, formerly, I believe, from Highland Park out of the Dallas area. He's got a little bit of a lively arm. I was pretty impressed by him today. I believe, you know, Hawaii, we know that they like to huck the ball plenty of times back in the day. I don't know what kind of offense they're running right now, but he's a guy that's put up good stats in the past, and I was impressed by him today.
Okay, I got to ask, because the Pro Football Focus guys, they got me thinking about Connor Wigman and what kind of player he is, because they're really high on him. Some guys over there think he's got a first-round upside. I know we've been talking a lot about the Aggie baseball program. What about the quarterback that's supposed to lead the Aggies this year? Is he there, and how do he look?
Yeah, so this was the optional quarterback kind of setting day one of the practice. So I didn't see Jackson Arnold. Okay. I didn't see Connor Wegman. I'm sure I'll see them out tomorrow. Of course, they're more camp counselors. This is supposed to be a fun little voluntary thing for them. You. So we'll see if they're out tomorrow. Of course, I think the college quarterbacks do, of course, have another throwing session by, you know, kind of to get tutelage from Peyton and Eli out here. But I didn't see either Wegman or Arnold out there today.
What was the strong? Who had the strongest arm that you saw today?
There was a couple. There was a kid from Cal that was out here from Miami originally. There are several quarterbacks in which I don't know the names, unfortunately. But Quinn, when he wants to, I think his arm could go, you know, yard for yard with just about anybody. Whether or not he unleashes it fully, that's kind of the big question mark for me. But of course, we've seen what he can do on the football field, and that arm to me jumped out a little bit as well. There were a couple overthrows. I think that more might be a speed thing. But to his point, I mean, he was clearing 60 yards pretty easily today.
Wow.
What I wanted to hear.
Yeah. I know Quinn's got the golden arm, guys. That arm talent has never been an issue with Quinn, and I don't think it is an issue even with NFL scouts. They talk about other stuff with Quinn that they want to see him improve on and we'll see growth in. All right, so man, CJ, he's out there. He's working hard for you folks. So if he's about to get
in a rainstorm, it looked like.
Well, either rainstorm, there might be a football headed toward his head. You got to have him in the swivel out there on the football field. So I understand why CJ might not just be accessible, but he'll come back and join us, give us some more updates. So we appreciate him. But we got a couple more questions that we can hit in the meantime why CJ is working some technical difficulties out. Kyle wants to know, Rod, with virtually every media outlet and talking head putting Texas as a top three team in the country, how can the players keep the tunnel vision and not be distracted by the pressure and the expectations? I think that's on Sark. That's about the leadership on the team. And Sark has talked about how they have great leadership on the team. Matter of fact, he was talking to Greg McElroy earlier this week. I don't know when they did that interview, but it was released earlier this week. And he asked Sark, hey, what is the biggest area of growth for Quinn? And CJ, he said leadership. He said leadership has been the biggest area of growth for him because he has to be a leader now. And he's got to be the one to get all those receivers, those brand new receivers, Bond, Golden, Bowden, Amari Nyeblack, all those guys on the same page. Ryan Wingo's gets a new receiver as well. Get those guys on the same page, the timing, the precision, the depth of the route, all that kind of stuff. And to do that, Coach, you got to be throwing sessions. You got to be throwing sessions in the summertime daily with all those different guys, organizing those on your own as a player. Yeah, we're going to see his leadership, I think, tested this offseason, and I think he's going to pass it with flying colors. I think Sark has already remarked he has.
Yeah, I think it's cliche-ish, but trust your training. Yep. You know, the coaches will tell these guys, you will never be in a moment bigger than what we prepared you for. And if it is, then you need to recheck yourself and refocus yourself because we prepared you for this. You've been preparing for this since you stepped on this campus, many of you before you even got here. The moment will never be too big for you. Remember your training and fall back on your training and just focus on that because that's what they train them for. They train them for a chance to play for the national championship and win.
And Kyle, go check out that Greg McElroy interview that he did, that Sark did, because he actually talks about that. He says, the answer, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, is he said, I tell the guys to focus on us and what we're doing. Oh, what's that? What's that, CJ?
I'm sure you can't see it all too well, but this is Jalen Milroe walking into the locker room here at Nicholls State. Imagine that group times maybe 10 or 12 to see Arch walk off 50 yards from midfield earlier today. So that was cool. I had to cut out one earlier. The rain started to come down, Coach called it. I'm sure you recognize the sky patterns from above, but the second time I wanted to go say hello to Jalen and, of course, get a photo for him. So that is the group of kids. Anytime someone walks in that's noticeable, I'll turn it around here. But, I mean, you see how many kids are on this field right now. Yeah. Anytime someone big walks by, about a fourth or third of the field just comes running to come say hello and greet whatever quarterback.
CJ, is the high school camp, is that like Elite 11? Is it invitation only, I'm assuming?
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I don't think so, actually. I think this is more a high school or, you know, any type of – there's some young kids out here. So it dips down deeper into, like, the middle school ranks as well. I think if you're just willing to make the trip out to Thibodaux, Louisiana, because I'm pretty sure there aren't this many quarterbacks out here in Thibodaux. I think this is one that you can just, you know, basically pay to make the trip out here and come be a part of it. You get all the shirts, the goodies, be coached by Peyton Eli, all these college quarterbacks. So it's worth it.
And what's the schedule? So how many days is the Manning Passing Academy? How many is it? 2 or 3 days?
Yeah, 2 to 3 days. The college kids will have a day less than some of these high school kids. It'll wrap up Sunday morning. I'm headed out Saturday. Probably Saturday around 10 or noon or so to get back down to Austin. Of course, the SEC celebration coming up Sunday afternoon. So I got to make the trip back down to Austin for that. And I don't want to miss that. So, but these kids will be out here probably 3 days, if I had to guess, for the college kids.
Hey, CJ, curious, who are they using for receivers for the quarterbacks?
Yeah, these poor Nickel State wide receivers, coach. There aren't many of them. And then they had a lot of routes to run. They had a lot of reps to catch. I was talking to one of them in between reps, and I was like, man, they're really working y'all. He looked at me like he was about to fall over, and I was like, oh, man, this rain just started.
So does that have something to do with the NCAA rules or something? A quarterback can't throw to one of his own receivers or whatever off. I wonder if that's a rule or just something that the university said, if you're going to have this here, it's only going to be our receivers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that makes a change from D1 to D2. I don't know what that ruling is. I feel like I've heard that before, Coach, so it certainly would make sense. I did notice a few other, you know, maybe area wide receivers from this area of Louisiana that might have made the trip over. Some of them looked very talented. Some of them a bit of a drop-off talent-wise, but more so than not, it was the Nickel State group down here.
Which
Thunderpup, could. By the way, I will interview Arch tomorrow, Arch and Quinn. I'll get a nice little update on their, you know,
which could explain why Quinn had some overthrows.
That I didn't want to say it out loud, Coach, but yeah, okay. It's a different type of speed than I think he's been accustomed to at Texas. So.
That's true. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, and honestly, that's might be a bucket list thing for some of these young receivers. I mean, you might end up catching passes from kind of an all-time great or at least a first-round pick in the future, something like that. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool story for those guys. All right, CJ, we appreciate some of those updates. Go check out CJ's Twitter, folks, at CJVogel_OTF. He'll have some updates up there for you, and we'll have more of his nuggets at ontexasfootball.com. So appreciate that. All right, while we got CJ really quickly, I want to ask you guys about the EA Sports video game ratings that were out. Apparently they've ranked the best offenses and defenses in the EA Sports video game really quickly. By the way, Coach, can you believe this? I know you don't care about video games as much, so we won't spend a ton of time talking about it. We'll just get into the ratings of the teams and how they're ranked by the formula for EA Sports. But you realize they won't have the horns down in the video game. It won't be in the video game, they said.
Really? Well, if it's past Atari, then I'm out. So that's where my video games playing ended. Donkey Kong, you know, that kind of stuff.
Pac-Man, that was about it. Pac-Man, that was about it.
Yeah.
I'll just say this, based on the latest rankings from the video game, basically they only have four schools that they have better than Texas as a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. The schools they have ranked ahead of Texas are they have Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State, and Bama are basically the only schools they have that are ranked better than Texas in terms of their overall ranking offense and defense. Does that sound about right? How about this, guys? They got the Texas defense ranked 8th overall in the country. Do we think the Texas defense ranked right behind Michigan at 7, which I think is too low. Do we think the defense is a top 10 defense because that's essentially what the new college football video game is. That's what they're saying. Top 10 defense, yes or no, coach? You ain't got no video games to know that.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. That's my wish list. I just don't know if it's going to be a reality. I hope it is. Yeah. I hope it is, man. And like I've said before, our kids seeing this, maybe they're like, "Hey, man, maybe we got a chance. Let's don't let you know, build a little confidence." I don't know.
CJ, what are your thoughts?
That's actually a good point. Listen, if Texas has a top five offense and a top 10 defense this year, it's going to be a really fun year one in the SEC. I'm with you, Rod. I think if you're looking at Michigan and Texas's defense to be a point apart, despite all that Michigan lost this year, EA Sports might be very optimistic about the Longhorns, and maybe I might just be a little bit lower on the Longhorns with this rating. Again, I think there's a lot of talented players. I think you're looking at a roster that has plenty of room to make big-time plays. You look at Andrew Makuba, Jahdae Barron, Malik Muhammad, you know, obviously Anthony Hill, some of the edge rushers as well. But what does that look like in the rush defense department? What does that interior look like? There's a lot of question marks there. We saw Texas a year ago put together a top 25 scoring defense, essentially with just two very dominant interior linemen and a great linebacker duo as well. Michigan's got, you know, that same line or defensive tackle duo plus the best cornerback in all of college football. So I'd like to see that tandem of complementary football between the secondary and the front seven before I put them in a top 10. But hey, that just means Texas is going to be very fun to play with in this game, Rod, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah, no, I agree. They got the offense doesn't surprise anybody. They got Texas as a top five offense. They got them behind Georgia, Oregon, Alabama, and Texas at number four. But defensively, a lot of Longhorn fans were surprised. I would say top 20 is kind of where I see that's the ceiling for that defense. And by the way, that's a damn good defense to be a top 20 defense overall. Depends on what mentioned, but obviously the pass defense has to improve. Sark actually was asked about that too in that Greg McElroy interview, and this is one thing he brought up, guys. He brought up Jalen Gilbo. He said they feel real good because he believes, in addition to the frontline starters, he talked about Derek Williams, he talked about Malik Muhammad. Those were two of the first names he brought up. He brought up Makuba coming in, and then he talked about Jahdae Barron getting healthy, and then he brought up Jalen Gilbo. That was like the fifth name he brought up in the secondary. And then he started talking about Javion Cole and started talking about some of the other guys. So the belief is that if he trusts Jalen Gilbo at nickel more than he trusts Javion Cole or Gavin Holmes at that corner opposite Malik Muhammad, maybe you see Jahdae Barron go out to that cornerback spot if needed, if there is an issue out there that they can't shore up, coach. Now at least you have solutions because Jalen Gilbo has stepped up to the point where Sark's mentioned them enough where I think he's earning some trust with Sark and his staff.
Well, the last two times we've seen our defense, okay, in the Sugar Bowl and in the spring game, not too impressive, you know. But then to hear Sark talk about him and go, "Oh no, I feel good about those guys," you know. So that leads me to believe that the secondary stayed plain Jane in the spring game, and Sark gave the people what they wanted to see: quarterbacks lighting it up and receivers showcasing. That's how I'm going to spin it. Because the last two times we saw that defense play,
hey,
they weren't impressive.
No, they were not. Yeah, I agree with you, Coach. No doubt about that. So we won't talk much about the video game, but that defensive rating, I think, is what a lot of Longhorn fans were surprised by, but pleasantly surprised by, if indeed that's the case. All right, we'll get back to some of the questions here. Here's another question here from, how about Jeff McClendon? Thank you, Jeff, for the question. It says, "Hey, Rob, you remember Ivan Williams? He was my backfield mate." I do remember Ivan Williams. He was a truck. He was a ton. He really was, man. That was an old power running back, too, from back in the day. Ivan Williams. I remember Ivan Williams. I hope he's doing well, too, if you still talk to Ivan Williams, man. Tell him I said what's up. That is for sure. All right.
Speaking of trucks, Coach, you in the recruiting mobile over there? Where are you going?
Yes, I am. I'm not quite at the Manning Academy, but I'm about to go check out 2034 prospect Stone Shipley in a little 7-on-7 action round rock tonight. So, I'm doing a little early recruiting and scouting and seeing where the boy's at. Now, if they'd let little brother play and cover some of them dudes, watch out. It may be a fistfight breakout in that 707. Little Steiner ship, please, a little. He ain't got no butt, but he got some game. Now, I'm going to tell you that.
He can run, huh, Coach? He can run.
He can run. He can run.
Hey, man, being a DB, trust me, that's half the battle. Somebody that can just flat out run, man. You got to have that. Got to have that foot speed. All right, there you go. So appreciate that, Coach. In the car doing it from both of you guys remotely, hooking it up. So appreciate the hard work from both of you guys. How about this one from Kelly_Horns Up says, Pierce led Texas to College World Series 3 times in the past 7 years, but wasn't enough. What impact, if any, does this put on current coaches? I think the pressure on Texas coaches is, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that CDC has a certain expectation and standard for all of his coaches. He also says, I'm going to give you everything you need to succeed. So if you're a great coach and all the resources at Texas, really, there's no reason for you not to be able to meet those expectations. So there's a little bit of pressure there. But, I mean, Texas baseball, I mean, that's a blue blood. You're talking about the bluest of blue bloods in all of college baseball. Yeah. So everybody knows when you take that job, I mean, that's immense pressure. What I love about Coach Schloss's press conference, though, which shows me, you know, he knows how to win a press conference, at least here at Texas, because you got to know your audience. He had an Augie Garrido story ready to go. He had there was a Coach Gus reference in there early on in the press conference. He had a Cody Clemens story he threw out there randomly. he knew his audience, CJ. He won that press conference over because he knew the names to bring up that would bring out the nostalgia factor for a lot of Texas baseball fans. So if you know about Texas baseball to that extent, then you know the pressure. As David Pierce found out, listen, good is not good enough for Texas baseball.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. You don't take the head coaching job at Kentucky or Duke basketball. You don't take the head coaching job at Alabama football, and you definitely don't take the job at Texas baseball if you don't understand what the expectations are ahead of time. And Texas baseball is up there with probably the highest expectations of any coach in college baseball right now to say, hey, you look at what the history has been, whether it be Coach Gus, whether it be Augie Garrido. I mean, there's only been 6 or 7 coaches since, what, 1940? I mean, that's for a reason. You know, and these guys have been very successful. They've planted the blueprint, of what it's like to play in coach baseball here at the University of Texas. There's a reason why the most College World Series appearances, postseason appearances, are all, you know, kind of highlighted and marketed around the Dish Falk Field. So I think Schloss understands that. Of course, if he doesn't, his good friend, as he says, Chris Del Conte, will be sure to tell him right away what it's like and what the expectations are at the University of Texas to be coaching baseball here in Austin.
Well, right. I can tell you it's somewhat of a misnomer to see when you say does a coach is he feeling pressure. I promise you, if you're coaching at the University of Texas or any school at that level, nobody's putting more pressure on you than you're putting on yourself. You understand what's at stake before you even take that job. And obviously you had to have some success, unless, and I'm not saying our basketball coach hasn't had some success. He kind of backdoored the job a little bit, but I promise you, he understands the pressure that's put on him, and it's no more than he's putting on himself. Whether he gets the job done or not, that remains to be seen. But it is, I agree with the baseball job. I don't know of one that's more pressure packed other than maybe the football job at Texas.
Yeah, Coach, I'm sure Jared talked about this earlier today, but that Arthur Kaluma pickup was pretty big for the Longhorns today. Of course, a guy that has been around college basketball for quite some time, Creighton, Kansas State, now down at Texas. I like what Rodney Terry is building right now. We'll see how all these guys mesh together. But right now, sorry, I'm getting rained on again. But that a lot of good pieces right now in that Texas basketball locker room.
Yeah. No, and if you got to go, CJ, just get up and hey, just jet. We understand if you got stuff going on, braining on you. We appreciate your all your efforts, brother, putting in the hard work for us. All right, couple of more questions here. My man David Keith Williams has joined us. He says, losing 2 All-American D tackles can't be replaced, but UT went from 31 to 21 to 18 points per game on defense over Coach Kwiatkowski's first 3 years. I don't see why UT can't lower those stats again in 2024. No, I agree with you. I think overall the defense has gotten better. The concern is just in the secondary. Has the secondary contributed to that, or has that been all the front 7 D tackles? This year is probably going to be the edge rushers. CJ talked about the talented linebacking core you've had the last couple of years, whether it's Overshown and Ford or Ford and Hill. You've had a really good linebacking core. So, yeah, I mean, that the question is, yeah, the defense could get better overall. Will the secondary contribute to that? Or will they still be protecting the secondary with certain coverage calls? Right. And I think that's what PK does a lot of times, coach. He's protecting the secondary. And oftentimes that can leave you vulnerable elsewhere. And I think he can't have the ideal defense that he wants just because the secondary, you have to have some protection for them because you have to trust them in one-on-ones consistently.
In today's offensive world, the world of today's collegiate offensive football, holding teams to 2 touchdowns and a field goal is a dang good defense. And so obviously the margin is going to get smaller and smaller. It's pretty easy to go from 31, knock some off of 31. A little tougher when you get to 21. Now it's you're at 18. I mean, you can shave a few more points off of that maybe, but you start talking about holding a team to 2 touchdowns average for the season, you're playing some ball.
Yep. That's elite stuff right there. Thank you, David Keith. We appreciate the shout out there. People are hitting us up in the chat saying, and I know this is not Longhorn news, but it is sports news. Bronny James did get drafted by the Lakers. It did happen. So
Duh.
Hey, you know what's going to happen.
He's not going to play for them, but.
You don't think so, CJ? No shots?
No, I'd be shocked if he scores 20 points this season. The other side of the Lakers, if you're a Lakers fan, sorry to get too deep into the NBA, but Dalton Connect ending up as a Laker is a big win for them. But yeah, Bronny's not going to do a whole lot for the Lakers this year.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And that was on NBA football right there. That's on NBA draft.
I mean, CJ's a well-rounded renaissance man when it comes to sports, man. He'll give you a hot sports take on damn near anything. But I did see, though, in the draft, speaking of Longhorns, though, a couple of Longhorns who were once committed, decommitted from the Longhorns, they had a good day in the draft. Ron Holland was drafted at number 5 by Detroit. A.J. Johnson, a former commit for Longhorns, he went 23rd to the Bucks. Even a transfer from Texas, was it Jalen Tyson, went to the Cavs at 20. So there was some Longhorn connections in that draft.
Jerry put it up on the board on TexasFootball.com. Evis Messi got drafted in the first round as well. He was going to commit to Texas the night Chris Beard ended up, getting arrested. So that would have been 4 NBA draft picks on what would have been the 2023 Texas Longhorns team. Until Chris Beard, lost his cool. So that's pretty unfortunate. Sorry to put that, kind of that picture in place for some of you Longhorns fans, but it's unfortunate there.
No, I was looking at the draft and I thought about it. I was like, man, it's a lot. I remember these names, and I'm glad you just tracked it down there, CJ. Could have been 4 of those guys potentially. All right, any more? How about Cisco? Cisco wants to know any updates on when fall camp starts. I don't know if we have that information, CJ. Coach, I don't know if even you know. I don't know if we have information yet about when fall camp will start. As soon as we know, I guarantee you we'll let you guys know. And I don't know when they release that information too. We do know when that comes out, Coach, or when they decide on that.
Is
that?
I would say a week, 1 to 2 weeks. Wouldn't you say, CJ? Probably. They've already. I mean, it's already been decided. I promise you that.
They haven't released the information. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle wants to know, when was the last time Texas had legitimate championship expectations in the offseason? Maybe going back to
2009. You finished pretty high in 08, isn't that right, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, without the Texas Tech loss, we would have played Florida for the national championship, and probably should have played them for the national championship anyway. But certainly the 2009 team that did play for it in the national championship, people knew they were going to be. But the 08 team, I think all of us probably know, was a more talented team, and I think had the best chance to win the championship. But not since then. Certainly not since then that I can. I mean, if the closest thing was this past season.
And we didn't have championship expectations then. We just thought they could win the Big 12 title, but not national championship expectations. This time, you're right. It's so not only the conference championship, but now people are thinking about a national championship. It's been a while. I think Coach is right. You got to go back to 09, and that was the case. CB, look at CB starting some. CB says, how would Rod be fair against Jordan Shipley prime on prime? Let's say 10 reps. 10 reps. Because, by the way, Jordan Shipley is – his skill set is my worst kind of nightmare. These guys, he's strong at the line of scrimmage, so he'll fight you off. He don't mind getting into a little fight at the line of scrimmage. And he's strong, and he's just as quick as he is fast. And he's got the ability to accelerate and decelerate, like, really quick. Like, I hated receivers like Jordan Shipley, so I'll say that. Because I knew that was kind of his skill set was kind of uniquely – you know, it was uniquely targeted at some of my weaknesses as a defensive back.
But that's not a fair question. It's not a fair question because in the secondary, you always, almost always, you have help somewhere. You know, so
you do, not really fair. We played man. We played bump and run, Coach. We didn't have that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll admit now, we had deep up over the top, but we did not have, like, a lot of help. They play a lot of help now. We did not. Now we call Boris. Carl Burris is a madman. So we played a lot of just straight up man coverage. Think about it, we weren't going against any mini spread attacks either. We were still, hell, Nebraska was still in the conference running triple option when we played. So you had some 21 personnel. You had some, you know what I mean? You had some more of the old school power sets. And then when Mike Leach came into the league, people started spreading it out. So we still were able to go with, you know, kind of traditional bump and run coverage. So I would say half the time we had help, but it was deep over the top. Like deep, that was the only help you had, deep over the top. Everything else, that's on you. You got to cover it. And I would say in that situation, deep over the top would help you against Jordan, by the way. I would say Jordan wins 60% of those reps. I'll give him 6 out of 10. I would.
I'd say it's even. I'd say dead even. What Jordan did so well, his burst off the cut, off his break, was the separation he could get was
And then
if you give him time for a double move, forget it.
You're done.
His double move because of that burst of speed that he had. But I'd say 50-50, Rod. I'm Coach, telling you, man, number 21 was one bad dude back there.
I appreciate that, Coach. And I'll say this. If Coach is quarterback, 6. He wins 60% of the time. If it's any other quarterback, I might give myself 50-50. But if it's him and Coach, I ain't gonna win that. If it's Colt,
come on, Spencer.
You know how that get. I agree with you, man. I've seen that bromance on the field. Nobody can stop that bromance, man. Think about it. 2009, guys, we didn't really have any other threats. It wasn't a lot of threats on that offense. We weren't a great running team. They didn't. What was the other threat opposite Jordan Shipley? Was it
Quan Cosby?
Goodwin, huh?
Well, Quan Cosby.
In 09, it wasn't Quan.
No.
So 09, it was just you got to stop Jordan Shipley and Colt McCoy, and nobody still couldn't stop it.
I tell people this: who was the running back in 09 in the national championship game? Nobody even knows.
Was it Trey Newton?
No, Trey was hurt. It was that. Remember, we talked about this, Rod. It was Johnson. Remember the big guy? They'd give him a hard time because he said, "I had 3 touchdowns today," and they'd say, "Yeah, you had 4 yards rushing." We got it down to take the ball, you know.
The old Frank Gore special.
Yeah.
Trey Newton. See? Told you it was Trey Newton. And his coach is right, Coach. It was both of them.
Yeah, but Trey Newton got hurt.
He did.
He didn't finish the season. He got hurt. He did.
But my point is, I'm talking about the running backs on that squad. They weren't great running backs, period. And my point was, I wasn't talking about the national title game. I'm just talking about the whole season. Like, they didn't have elite running backs. There was no other elite threats. Who's the best receiver
Matthew, can you sort that by receiving yards?
Yeah. Cody Johnson.
John Child.
Cody Johnson scored 12 touchdowns, had 300 and something yards rushing for the season.
Look at that. Malcolm Williams. Yeah.
Malcolm Williams was your
second leading receiver. Come on, man. Nobody. You know they were double teaming him? Sometimes they rather than triple teaming him. Still couldn't stop that bromance. Anyway, I wasn't going to stop that. Not if Cole was back.
Oh, come on, man.
I'll give him 60%. I consider him the greatest wide receiver in Texas football history. I'll give the man props and say he'll get 60% on Rod B.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
you didn't rank yourself high enough on the list of DBU. I'll tell you that for sure.
That's true.
Not rank yourself high enough.
Coach, I'm telling you what. Coach, you know what we're going to do one day? I'm going to give you that list. I'm going to redo it. And I'm telling you, it's hard to crack that top 20. That DBU is deep. It's deep, Coach. It's deep. Yeah, I appreciate the love. I appreciate the love, Coach. I appreciate that love. That's what I'm talking about. See, coaches made me feel good about myself. So I'm going to end the show right there. We're going to end the show. So for Coach, take a jab at me. all right, let's take one of our
songs. No, we ain't going to talk about the dude in a coma now.
See, exactly. Well, I know his name. I'm not even gonna bring up his name because then Matthew's gonna bring up his Wikipedia page or something like that. All right, let's think of one of our sponsors.
We better get out of here before Matthew does something stupid.
All right, let's thank our good friends over at Flat Creek Estate for sponsoring the winning drive, but also for being a part of the On Texas Football family. Very grateful for their support. Did you know, folks, that the most awarded wine in Texas is actually the vineyard closest to Austin? That's right. Flat Creek Estate Winery is just minutes from downtown Austin, and they've won award after award this year for their vintage wine, Super Texan. Super Texan is now available at your local specs, so give it a try. Of course, Flat Creek is also a gorgeous venue with barbecues and wine tastings every single weekend. It's perfect for a day date with your significant other or just a getaway with your significant other. That's Flat Creek Estate Winery. Go to flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com. I personally can vouch for the Super Texan. It is fantastic. My wife loves it, so we had a couple of bottles in the house right now. And also the rosé has become really popular with wifey. She loves it, especially during the summertime when it's hot. Very refreshing, the rosé from Flat Creek Estate. So thank you very much to Flat Creek Estate Winery, flatcreekestate.com. All right, gentlemen.
That was set up on a tee right there.
All I want, as long as he don't pull up that Jeopardy game I was playing in or whatever it was. What is this, Coach?
One day we're gonna do coaches. What was it called? What you playing? Was it like a Pictionary game or something?
He's trying to describe a coverage, but I didn't know there was a hint on the top of the screen. They didn't tell me how to play the game. And so he said he drew two big circles, and he said, now what is that, Coach? Tells me. I said, it's big. You remember what's his name on Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live? Big boobies. I didn't even know who was offense and who was defense.
I think did you say, Coach, who was watching it? Did you say you had
family? I sent my mom the link. I'm on the show tonight on TexasFootball.com. Why don't you check it out?
Oh,
I ain't heard from mama since.
I love when the mamas join us. Mama Vogel.
There it is. Now, see, what is that? I don't even know who's off. What is that, Coach? Big boobies. Jerry, look at Bobby. Look at Bobby down there. Bobby's like, oh my gosh. Oh no.
That's too good, Coach. That's too good.
And I'm not saying I did or I didn't have a little Flat Creek before that show.
There you go, a little Flat Creek. Had you feeling good?
The funniest thing was a big X across the middle of my face.
Wow.
Oh man.
All right.
Greater moments for sure.
All right, that's a great way to end it right there with a little laughter. So thank you to my man Matthew, working hard behind the scenes, quickly too, by the way, to find all that great stuff. Thank you to CJ. CJ, you're the man, brother. Thank you for all the nuggets, and be safe out there and have fun. You deserve it. Thank you to Coach as well. Coach, be safe as well because you're on the road too. Thank you to all you guys for joining us. Thank you so much for all the super chats. Really appreciate all you guys' support. Thank you for helping us build this On Texas Football family. Thanks to our sponsors. Thank you, Flat Creek Estate Winery, and also to South Point Dodge. Join us tomorrow. We got our 1 o'clock live stream on Friday, and you got coffee and football starting at 8 a.m. right here on Texas Football. And don't forget, CJ Vogel _OTF has got all those great Manning passing camp updates for you. So you can go check those out as well. All right, until next time, folks.
CJ, good.
Love that.
I'm checked in today.
Until next time, same channel, same time.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.